Gristlers, we're back again. Another wonderful week of seeing what's happened in the week that was here on the Gristle 2SER 107.3. I am Starvin Marvin, and we've got a lot coming up. We're going to be talking a bit of Trump, of course. Why not? Gladys Berejiklian has been very, very busy with various problems with her own staff and many more things to come. Stay tuned for the Gristle. Oh, welcome back, Gristlers. Hasn't it been too long? Far too long. And, of course, we have right down here from the Northern Rivers in the studio, Storm and Norman. Good to have you back in the studio.
Good evening. It's great to be
here. Isn't it wonderful? And we're hooked up again with the family from the West. God, Punditaker, how long has it been since you've been in the studio? Nion.
Wow.
God. And we've got, I thought it was something to do with Shakespeare. But you've also got a micromanager there in the studios, Riggy Smalls, I believe. Oh, right. The future of our nation in the studios. Fantastic. Oh, look, what's her name? We had, I can't think of the right name now. I can't use a real name. Anyway, we had her on a bit earlier, a couple of weeks back, 2 weeks ago. Trudette was on. She was on. Yeah, you know, we had a bit of representation while you were off there. Anyway, Punditaker, what has been striking you this week in the world of politics? Been hit in the head with budget? Yeah.
Since the Second World War.
It's only...
Deficit.
It's...
The Morrison deficit is here to stay. Look, I think it was an interesting Tuesday night. We obviously saw the coalition pivot to hardcore socialist government spending policies.
A bit of your influence, I think.
Well, indeed. I think the Gristle does have a lot to claim credit for. Storm and Norman, I'm of a vintage to remember when debt and deficit disasters were the centerpiece of coalition campaigns. It seems that they are for the turning on this one.
Well, we're all Keynesians now, and we love spending money.
It's capital K.
But I think that Josh Frydenberg, he's eyeing off his superhero outfit. He's turned himself from the man who was back in black to the Red Ink Man.
The new
superhero who is just breaking all speed records when it comes to debt and deficit and debts as far as the eye can see. More red ink than in a...
How many zeros does 1.7 trillion have, Stormont? How many? Do you know?
I don't know.
You're a bit of a numbers man, Punditaker.
I think it's got as many zeros as there are in the federal cabinet. Look, I think what is interesting, obviously, is the centrepiece of the budget is the government's tax policies. They are bringing forward tax cuts. The kind of question is, and for the average 2SER subscriber and listener, I hope they're one and the same thing coming up to our subscribe-a-thon. if you got a tax cut right now, would you be inclined to go out and spend it or maybe just save it and
pocket
not spend? Yeah, pocket it. Because if you're inclined to pocket it, then the argument that tax cuts are going to stimulate the economy kind of goes down the gurgler somewhat, doesn't it?
And the research that's been done so far as to how people have behaved during the pandemic is that people have been tending to put money away rather than spend it because they're worried about the future.
Oh, yeah. Look, people aren't spending, and working from home helps in that you can act like you're working as well. It's look, you know, I think that has been interesting. I think, and maybe I'm biased being a PhD student here at UTS in Sydney, but I really feel like the failure to support the higher education sector is, talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. The higher education sector, I think it was the second or third biggest earner, and yet there's barely any support, and we're seeing massive job cuts across the sector. So I don't know what you guys think of it.
You can't get your money makers. How do you get your money makers into the country, Pundertaker? How are you going to do it?
Well, obviously not through Crown Casino anymore.
Flights from Wuhan have stopped, I hate to tell you.
No.
So we can't get them in. What are we going to do? You know, that's it. That's the end of the
sector, isn't it? Online learning. Come on. Some of the other...
It's all blocked by the Chinese government, as I understand.
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting point to segue. Curious as to what you two both think on the government's back down on English language test. So there was a line in there about, you know, people that don't speak English are going to have trouble obtaining a visa. Was there pushback from the Nats on this because they were worried that a number of senior ministers and deputy premiers may not pass the test and would be sent back across the border to New England?
Or the partners of some national members wouldn't be allowed in.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, I just think, again, it's such an own goal. You know, I want to quickly pivot now to Albo gave a budget reply speech last night. And look, I often think budget reply speeches are more about shoring up your position among your own internal caucus than actually trying to really present an alternative vision, because people aren't really kind of tuned in. How do you think that went? Do you think Albo's got a chance? I mean, it's very hard to cut through.
Well, it is very hard to cut through, but I think people were interested in what was going to be in it in his budget reply for women. I think a lot of women were starting to, particularly in the media, we're having a quick look at what was in the budget for women. They were finding bugger all in the budget for women.
Who would have thought that the coalition, the party that elected Tony Abbott,
it seemed a bit obvious though that they could have just even had some sort of you know, threw a few little peccadilloes at the childcare sector. I mean, they did do something during the crisis, but that's all, you know, it's all dead and buried now. What are we going to have now? What's next, you know? So I think that has made a bit of resonation, and it is something that Albo's...
You just made up another word there, Stoss.
Yeah, there's another word.
No. You know,
a nation of resonators.
At one stage, because this criticism was made after Tuesday's speech, that the budget didn't do enough for women, bearing in mind that women predominantly have taken a harder economic hit.
The hit, that's right.
The economic crisis.
Indeed.
So now you might be able to fill me in on this. One government MP, a female MP, actually made the point, well, why are you complaining about women drive on roads too? As if to say the investment in road funding was some sort of help.
They don't drive well on roads. I think that's the thing, isn't it?
That's
oh, my goodness.
That's not an endorsed statement. I think
that then led to the fact that last night in Albo's speech there was such a focus on childcare.
Yeah, and look... I know.
We're focusing on childcare at the moment, the background.
Well, No. Look. We have childcare sorted. We just camp out here in the studio. Here is, with my hard-headed realpolitik hat on, people think childcare makes a difference to votes often because a lot of people have babies, they need childcare to go back to work and so on. But a lot of the evidence shows you only kind of care about childcare up until the kid goes to school, although I could do some of that right now.
No care, childcare.
Curious as to, do we think that the childcare policy, one of the three headline policies, the other being electricity, poles and wires network, and the other, which I've forgotten, do we think that's really going to have an impact electorally?
Hard to say this far out.
I found that a very odd one, actually, Punter Taker, because how long ago were we talking about all of the poles and wires being gold-plated, the network? Mm. Too much money spent on this network. It was gold-plated.
I don't want gold-plated anything.
That's what we were talking about. So how come, what's happened? It's deteriorated. Is the gold worn off, has it?
I don't think we need gold-plated. The last time I saw gold-plated anything was when they took that... there was a TV documentary about Saddam Hussein's bathroom. He had a gold-plated toilet in there. I'm not interested in gold-plated anything.
I think Trump has a gold-plated toilet. Isn't I think he's got the gold-plated taps. So, you know, why wouldn't he have the toilet?
Punter Taker, I think the issue here is that people are now worried about once the health crisis is sorted out, because people can see the light at the end of the tunnel on the health
crisis. A vaccine is likely to be announced soon, that's right.
So the next thing is, how do we get out of this economic mess? And I think that the task for Labor is to convince voters that their plan to get the economy back on track is better than the government.
Tell me this. You know, you were saying earlier there, Stormin, we're all Keynesians now. Everyone has access to the money printer. Yeah. This is Labor's time to shine. All those criticisms that Labor's a party of profligacy don't matter anymore. You can have your cake and eat it too. Surely Albo should have just gone large. He should have gone like that Hungry Jack's rip off the Big Mac. Like, he should have just like gone huge.
Someone put an argument to me just yesterday, Punter Taker, that there are some things that Labor governments just can't do because they carry the burden of that reputation that they can't handle money. And that probably is weighing on Anthony Albanese and Jim Chalmers to say that they can't go too hard because they'll be tarred with that brush again. And ironically, the Liberal Party, because they don't carry that baggage, are in a position where they can go big and no one's going to complain and accuse them of being poor at economic management.
That's not fair, is it?
No, it isn't.
Well, okay, really, really quick question, because we need to get on to Super Mario Bros. Losing his licence. Shout out to Friendly Geordies as well on that one. Fantastic truth to power. But just back on federal politics, Albo's getting a bit of pressure to start going on the attack. Do you think he should? Is it about time he stopped head nodding at the background of ScoMo's press conferences? Is it time for him to pull out the fangs, pull out the baseball bat?
Well, but you've got to have something to do it with, and that's where I think the one little chink in the apart from the fact that so much has been put onto the tax cuts, and that is the way that, you know, the business is going to pull us through, because
it's great for me,
It's great for you, isn't it?
I'm just not sure if it's great for the country.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that the people that really needed it, the people that, you know, at the lower end of the scale, the JobKeeper, JobSeeker people, they're the ones that are not going to be getting any of the big bucks out of all this. Mm. And that is something that Labor can go after. But the other thing they could go after, of course, was the lack of attention to women in the budget. So there are a few things now which they can do something with.
Points of difference.
It's points of difference, which really before it was really a bit difficult, wasn't it? You're in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah. Do you want to look un-Australian? Do you want to look against, you know, what are you going to do when basically the government's taken all your policies?
But the other thing, Punter Taker, is not only is there a need for Labor to sharpen up its attack, but I think now is the perfect opportunity for Labor to actually come up with some big, bold policies of its own.
Hang on a second. Big, bold policies? Jeez, are we in 2019?
Well, we were talking.
The irony. The Labor's the
time to bring out the very fast train. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. So, the narrative about why Labor lost the last election was because it went too big and too bold and took too much stuff into the election. Ironically, now I think the environment has changed where people are actually looking for answers.
And
the agenda that failed a year ago may not be such a lame duck this time around.
Yes, well, look, I don't know. Maybe we're on our way to happiness, maybe not.
We
might just have a little... Do you want to have a little break, Punter Taker, or do you want to keep going?
Are you sure that the listeners really want to have a break from...
No, they probably don't. We'll keep going.
okay. Look, in that case, I think it's time to pivot to state politics. It's been another shocker week for the coalition government here. Riven, one one leg on both sides of the barbed wire fence, firmly squatting even on that barbed wire fence. Ooh. I don't know how long the coalition is going to last. This week we saw more fun at ICAC. And shout out to David Ip, actually passed away, a former commissioner there. Team, another horror week. Can we run through some of the highlights of the House of Horrors that is the coalition government in New South Wales?
Well, look, you know, the John Barilaro, of course, has been
driving
around at very fast
speeds. He's been thrill-seeking.
If it was a very fast train, he wouldn't have to fly around so fast in a state government car.
Someone should have told him he doesn't need to go that fast. Koalas don't run that fast. Come on.
Now, and
he was clearing land, obviously.
To make things worse, his old sparring partner, Andrew Constance, has been out on the airwaves, and he's been saying, well, you know, why don't your Barilaro staff pull their heads in and stop trying to background journalists and all this sort of thing? I mean, you know, do we really need another spat between the southern New South Wales MPs?
Yes.
We do.
It's like UFC, but just like cheap and of very low.
So clearly the healing hasn't happened yet between the Liberals and the Nationals. Clearly.
Again, not to make this the friendly Geordies appreciation hour, but I really think that Jordan Shanks did a really good job on piecing together just, you know, essentially the very questionable behaviour of the Deputy Premier and the fact that he's still there. I mean, what does that tell you?
Still in the bubble bath, is he? He's still there at John Barilaro's house. My God.
I sincerely hope someone has got a bucket of hand sanitizer for his house. But, you know, the Deputy Premier took a week off because of stress leave because he couldn't handle a bit of scrutiny. Now he's going off the rails with his license being lost. When are the Nationals going to grow a spine and find a new leader? Or Stormer Norman,
well,
you're from the Northern Rivers. Is this the new face of the Nationals?
Well,
Kings in Grass Castles. or is that the old face?
surely it's about time for someone to tap John Barilaro on the shoulder and say, mate, it's probably a good idea if you gave someone else a go. But I'm worried. I'm not so worried about him losing his driver's license. I'm more worried.
It's actually, it makes me feel safe.
Yes. I question whether he should have a license to drive a mobile phone, given the number of text messages that he sends to his colleagues that accidentally get sent to the Daily Telegraph.
He would probably be breaching the Spam Act. There's actually an Act of Parliament, which actually, you know, puts penalties on spamming. Andrew Constance, if you're listening,
spamming newsrooms,
don't be a victim anymore. Yeah.
But you know, I would point out that the member for Port Macquarie has jumped ship. She's now with the Liberal Party, so that takes the Nationals down to about what, six or seven or something. So look, there's just not that many people left that can take the leadership. I mean, they've all had a go, haven't they, over the recent years?
Well, and look, this you know, plus you know, it's not just Super Mario Bros. It's also Daryl Maguire.
Oh yes, Daryl Maguire. Now,
quote, gave Premier's private email to help landowner lobby for changes. I mean, what I always find astounding, apart from the fact that corruption is obviously bad, is how dumb it is. I mean, at least if you've seen what's gone on in ICAC and you are a corrupt or you are corruptly inclined type of person, at least put some effort into it. This is like the lowest grade sort of pseudo-corruption you could ever... I don't understand it. Stormin.
Well, I don't think the ICAC investigation has been finalised yet, so we probably need to be a bit careful about where we go with this. But
oh, look, I'm not saying that anyone's actually corrupt per se. I'm just saying allegations of corruption.
The allegations are pretty low rent. You do raise your eyebrows. But it's got so bad that even the Premier herself has been dragged into this now. So she's been called to give evidence.
And she's very happy to, she said. Very happy to help out anywhere, anytime.
After one of her MPs handed out her personal email and took a slightly drunk property developer into her office.
A slightly drunk. Now, was the error... in a slightly aspect.
But it's hard to tell with a property developer, isn't it? You think they're talking such a shyster that they, you know, do you really know if they're actually in their right mind or not? Because they talk about, I mean, the whole, I didn't believe what Darryl Maguire's up to until I drove down Canterbury Road towards Canterbury and saw these multi-story buildings which have just gone up like that. Just near the Canterbury Hospital, in fact.
Surely he's doing the Lord's work.
Yes, well, all these buildings compounding with Chinese money. I don't know, money from elsewhere. Who knows? Who knows where this money's coming from? But it has gone into, I mean, they've been trying to get rid of all the crap down Canterbury Road for many years, and it goes up in 10 minutes, these 9 and 10-story buildings.
Well, you know, again, I mean, you know, it takes Australia 40 years to build a second airport in Sydney. We haven't built it. In China, they don't mess around. It takes them 2 years to build a second airport.
Oh, we need a few property developers, give them the airport, it'll be up like that. Give them a cut of the action, they'll be right on there.
Now, I do want to ask, though, for all the turmoil, obviously the stuff with the scandal, iCare scandal with Dominic Perrottet, the Premier's weak leadership, her failure to be able to control the coalition, do we think this is having an effect? How's Jodie Mackay going for Labor, team? You know, it's hard.
Jodie
cutting through.
Hi. I seem to call her from somewhere. I saw her in Sausage Sizzle,
very, very
Strathfield
unfair.
Station. But
I think she's doing well. I think it's hard.
She seems very nice.
Okay, so here's a sneak peek. So basically, in the Western, you know, it's very hard for opposition leaders to cut through. In Western Australia, for example, the Premier has an 85 to 90% approval rating. ScoMo's at 65%. It's just very hard. So what's some free advice for Jodie from the gristle?
Oh, gosh. Jeez. Well,
plugging away?
Well, yeah, look, you know, keep plugging away. Try and get onto the 7:30 report. I think Lee Sales might give her a run.
7:30 report? No, you want the Daily Telegraph. You're so out of touch, Starvin.
I've been in this ABC bubble. I don't know. Look,
don't get in John Barilaro's way. I think that is probably the best thing that Labor Party have going for them in New South Wales at the moment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Now, look, Stormin, I do think we need to talk about some Trump tweets.
Oh, wait, hang on. Let's just have a recap since the last episode of The Gristle. On Saturday, Trump gets diagnosed with COVID that he caught at a conservative Jonestown-style powwow to celebrate an anti-abortion, hardcore religious conservative judge coming in. He gets whisked off by helicopter to Walter Reed. Then he's on this cocktail of drugs. He decides to not inject bleach. He's still contagious. He goes for a drive to wave at everyone and then decides that he's not sick and goes
public
back to
servants,
the White House.
Public servants in the car, right? Can they say no? They can't say no. They're all probably macho, you know, meatheads anyway. So they're going to say yes anyway. But, I mean, why should they be put at risk? What if a driver comes down with something? What if one of the Secret Service agents come down with something?
You know what? They would be, in Trump's word, a loser. If you get COVID, you're a loser, unless you're Trump, of course.
Oh, yeah, they agreed to take a bullet, not to take a COVID.
Didn't he say it was a blessing from God?
I'm sorry.
There are some half serious theories that Trump is the luckiest person alive, like that he's just essentially, I mean, I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, yeah, when he was first elected, I actually did make the prediction on this show that I was worried that he may not live to the end of his term because he was such an unhealthy, unfit sort of individual.
I got that tweet from you, Stormin Norman. I didn't want to put it to air, but, you know.
But I think I've been proved absolutely incorrect because he, as sick as he looks, nothing can stop him. He's just
he's not out of the woods yet, according to Dr. Norman Swan, so who knows. But one of the tweets from Trump was, the Gallup poll has just come out with the incredible finding that 56% of you say that you are better off today during a pandemic than you were 4 years ago, in brackets, Biden. Highest number on record. Pretty amazing. What planet is he on?
I think we're all going to miss Trump. You know, people say that they want him gone, but, you know, we're going to have Biden, then probably Harris, who knows who. You know, even when Trump Jr. is president in 8 years, it's just not going to be the same. Oh.
What are the guys on that Planet America show going to do? They'll have no material.
we've already got them in here at 2SER. Well, we've got the talent ready to go. Anyone that's out of a job and doesn't need to be paid anything, they're going to be on here at 2SER 107.3.
But look,
so we've got them.
For all the malarkey, as Joe Biden calls it, isn't the real issue here that both Trump and Pence have declined to confirm that they would peacefully transfer power? And yesterday, or the day before, we saw the governor of Michigan, Gretchen, her surname I forget.
Governor Whitmer.
Sorry, Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
Gretchen Whitmer. She's a Democrat.
She was subject to an assassination plot or something similar, essentially.
That's
where a bunch of survivalists took Trump's tweet to liberate that state seriously. Do we think that we might be seeing a Call of Duty-style November election storming?
Well, that is a concern, especially when Donald Trump, during that infamous debate, did use the phrase, "Proud Boys, stand down and stand by," which was taken by some as to be a call to arms.
I know.
Yeah, no, I didn't say that. No, I got that wasn't right. No.
Now, what about the fly?
He says, though, that Governor Whitmer's done a terrible job. She locked down her state for everyone except for her husband's boating activities. Honestly.
It's so funny, though.
He never gives up, does he? But he's about 11 points behind in many polls.
He is. Look, and I think for those that are tracking the US election somewhat closely, that 538, obviously, one of the leading commentary and polling aggregator sites, had a really interesting article a couple of weeks ago, and they pointed out that Biden needs to win not just the popular vote in general, but he needs to win the electoral college vote. And according to their stats at the time, for Biden to have more than a 50% chance of winning the electoral college, he had to win something by like 55% of the popular vote. Now, to put that in perspective, that's almost unprecedented in recent times. So, it's a very close run thing at the moment. I don't know what to say.
Well, it all depends on those swing states, doesn't it, and what they're going to do and how good these polls are and what's going to happen next. Why can't he have a virtual debate?
Because
he said so, because, they may turn off my microphone. Well, of course, that's exactly right, that he won't be able to talk over people like I'm doing right now to you, Punditaker.
Indeed. And look, quick final point to note, however, for those of you like us here on The Grizzle, who every time we talk about Trump, we're actually curled up in the fetal position in the studio floor right now, that actually COVID is scaring old white people, and that may actually see a surge which people are not expecting. So it may actually be that the traditional conservative base swings against Trump. That's certainly what we're seeing in some states in WA. So,
Well, we might have to get going now, Punditaker, because we've got the Across the Park boys ready to get in here.
Fantastic.
So we're going to be on our way to happiness. Thank you very much, Punditaker. Thank you very much, Storm and Norman, for coming all this way. And we're going to be on our way to happiness. I'll do my best to do the best I can.